WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy. Temperature is still holding steady at 8 degrees above zero. We look for a chance of light snow or flurries today. Less than an inch expected, if anything at all. We'll have a high around 17. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our news is brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In the news this hour, a judge in Hall County, Nebraska, has ordered a Western Iowa woman to appear in Grand Island by no later than 5 p.m. next Wednesday to serve 120 days in jail for violating the terms of her probation after having been convicted on felony charges of animal neglect. 49-year-old Denise Whitty of Mapleton was convicted in July of 2009 for her role in the dumping of 20 dead and 3 dying dogs in a cornfield near Grand Island during the summer of 2008. During her trial, Whitty claimed she was taking the dogs to someone in Nebraska when she became sick. She said she pulled over and passed out, and when she awoke, most of the dogs were dead from the heat. After her conviction in 2009, Whitty was sentenced to 4 years of probation and ordered not to possess or reside with any animal. Officials at the Iowa Lottery say a review of their records for the past year shows there were winners of large lottery prizes in every Iowa county. Here in Cass County, Thelma Jean Van Tyker of Messina was the latest big instant scratch game winner during the calendar year 2011, winning $30,000 in the crossword game with a ticket purchased at the 21st Century Co-op C-Store in Messina. Players in Iowa have up to 365 days from the date of drawing to claim prizes in Powerball, Mega Millions, and Hot Lotto. Players have up to 90 days from the date of drawing to claim prizes in Iowa's $100,000 cash game and Iowa Lottery's Pick 3 and Pick 4 games. If the expiration date falls on a weekend or holiday when the lottery's offices are closed, the winner has until the close of business on the next business day to turn in the ticket. Prizes in the instant scratch and pull tab games must be claimed within 90 days of the end of the game. Some residents in southwest Iowa and western Iowa, along with parts of Nebraska, will be able to indulge in donuts and coffee offered by a popular national chain in the coming years. According to a development corporation headed up by three former Huskers football players, Dunkin' Donuts will open restaurants in Council Bluffs, Red Oak, Sioux City, and Shenandoah. The chain will also offer stores in Omaha, Columbus, Norfolk, and South Sioux City, Nebraska. The first restaurant will open in 2013, with the remaining stores set to open by 2020. Dunkin' Donuts serves coffee, frozen and iced beverages, an assortment of pastries, breakfast sandwiches, and an all-day menu. The company has more than 10,000 restaurants in 32 countries worldwide and racked up more than $6 billion in global sales in 2010. Western Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King Thursday presented 6 Air Force medals to an Iowa resident and Vietnam War veteran, David Napier. Napier never received the medals he earned while serving over 40 years ago, but he received the medals on Thursday after seeing a flyer about retrieving unclaimed medals from Congressman King's office. Napier served in the U.S. Air Force from 1961 to 1969 and was honorably discharged with the rank of sergeant. He served 1 year in Da Nang, Vietnam, as a musician in special entertainment unit the Air Force called the Black Patches, and he was acquainted with many famous civilian entertainers who volunteered their services during the war. He's a well-known local musician as well who plays saxophone and for other local music groups. Iowa Congressman Steve King is among the Republicans who are upset with Democrat President Barack Obama's decision to reject the Keystone XL oil pipeline project. King says it's just a completely illogical decision when you look at a country that needs jobs, that needs energy, and the price of gas today is compared to the day that Barack Obama took office. He says all these things scream for us to build the pipeline down from the oil sands region in northern Alberta into the U.S. The president issued a statement yesterday saying the decision to reject the pipeline was based on the need to gather more information on the safety of that pipeline. But King says the decision is simply politics. Two men who pleaded guilty in last summer's attack on U.S. Representative Leonard Boswell's southern Iowa farmhouse are scheduled to be sentenced today. David Dewberry pleaded guilty last month to first-degree robbery and faces a mandatory sentence of 25 years in prison. Cody Rollins pleaded guilty to aiding and abetting an attempted burglary and faces up to 10 years in prison. Prosecutors say Dewberry of Fremont, Nebraska, entered Boswell's farmhouse near Leon on July the 19th, armed with a BB gun, and attacked Boswell's daughter. While Boswell fought with Dewberry, his grandson got a shotgun and pointed it at the 20-year-old Dewberry, chasing the man off. Boswell suffered minor injuries during the scuffle. Prosecutors say the 20-year-old Rollins, who lives in Lamoni, helped to plan the burglary and drove Dewberry to Boswell's home. Well, the days may be numbered for a state rule that bans the use of lead shot when hunting mourning doves. Lawmakers established a dove hunting season in Iowa last year, and the state's Natural Resources Commission later voted to require non-toxic shot after critics complained lead shot was an environmental hazard. But two subcommittees, one in the House, the other in the Iowa Senate, have now voted to override that rule and let dove hunters use lead shot. 79-year-old Lyle Goodrich says he can't use the non-toxic shot in his lightweight gun.
You cannot shoot steel through it. It'll ruin the barrels.
Hunters like Goodrich also complain that non-toxic steel shot is dramatically more expensive. Cynthia Hansen, who's with a group called Lead is Poison, says the doves who aren't killed during the hunting season eat the lead shot left behind.
It's not going to be an overnight decimation of the doves, but we will slowly decimate that dove population by poisoning them.
Hunters say there are isolated incidents of doves eating lead shot, and they discount studies suggesting it's harmful for humans to eat game killed with lead shot. Terry Little is with the Iowa Outdoor Partnership.
There have been a couple that show that people that eat game meat do have slightly elevated lead levels, but then so do people over 65 and people that live in older homes.
Legislative leaders predict both the House and Senate will eventually act to overturn the ban on lead shot for hunting mourning doves in Iowa. A House panel has approved a tax cut plan that its sponsor says is a compromise between Republican Governor Terry Branstad and Senate Democrats. The bill from House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Republican Tom Sands of Wapello would cut commercial property taxes by 40% as proposed by Branstad. The cuts will be made over 14 years rather than the 8 outlined in the governor's plan. Sands's plan, which was approved Thursday by the House Ways and Means Subcommittee, would also provide greater relief to small businesses, as called for in a plan proposed by Democrats. It would also provide relief for all property taxpayers by offering more state education aid and tying residential property tax increases to the rate of inflation. And it now goes before the full committee. The House Education Committee has unanimously approved a bill banning the use of all nicotine products on school property amid fears new smokeless and dissolvable tobacco products are easier for students to use. State law already allows school boards to suspend or expel a student for the use or possession of tobacco, alcohol, or controlled substances on school property. The bill approved Thursday expands those rules to include all nicotine products. Products used to help someone quit smoking are excluded. Committee Chairman Republican Greg Forrestal of Macedonia says nicotine products resembling toothpicks, mints, or breath strips are being marketed to young people. Under the bill, school boards may also remove other people that violate the law and ban them from school grounds. That bill now goes before the full House. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a senior defense official says that all 6 NATO troops killed in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan were U.S. Marines. The crash happened yesterday in the Helmand province in the south. The official says there's no indication the helicopter was hit by enemy fire. The Obama administration says next week's talks with the Taliban offer the best chance yet to end the 10-year-old war in Afghanistan. If those talks take place, they also will involve President Hamid Karzai's Afghan government. The intelligence community has been warning that the Taliban are more interested in using the talks to boost their standing while delivering little in return. The 4 remaining Republican presidential candidates are getting a final full day of campaigning today before tomorrow's South Carolina primary. Mitt Romney is clinging to a narrow lead in the South Carolina polls, but Newt Gingrich is closing in. Rick Perry dropped out of the race yesterday. Firefighters near Reno, Nevada have been working this morning to hold the line on a fast-moving brush fire that's destroyed more than 20 homes. The blaze grew to 6 square miles before firefighters could stop its surge toward Reno. More than 10,000 people were evacuated. And about 270,000 electric customers around Seattle, Tacoma, and Olympia, Washington are without power because of a winter storm that coated much of Washington state in ice and swelled Oregon rivers, killing 3 people. The National Weather Service says warming temperatures today should melt the snow and ice in western Washington lowlands. Forecasters say the melting snow could cause urban and small stream flooding. News time is 8:10.
A new year for many people marks a time for new beginnings. A time of self-improvement, a time to build better family relationships, or possibly to achieve more at their job. Regardless of the resolution, my guess is they'll all have one common purpose, improving relationships. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. If your goal for the new year involves better interaction with others, communication is key. And if you have an untreated hearing loss, your chance for success is diminished. In family and friend relationships, the inability to hear and communicate well can lead to misunderstandings and hurt feelings. At work, not understanding verbal orders or directions can lead to poor job performance. Errors committed due to poor hearing could be seen as a lack of attention to detail and frustrate customers or supervisors. You get a physical every year, you have your annual eye exam, and you probably go to the dentist at least once a year. If your New Year's resolution involves improving relationships, take a first step towards success. Schedule a hearing evaluation today. Call ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements, Laura J. Blatt, age 89 of Buffalo Center and formerly of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Timely Mission Nursing Home in Buffalo Center. Funeral services for Laura Blatt will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Buffalo Center. The Winter Funeral Home in Buffalo Center has arrangements. Lavina Johnston, age 87, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Lavina Johnston will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Audubon Church of Christ. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Clyde David McMullen, age 90, of Stewart, died Monday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Funeral services for Clyde McMullen will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has arrangements. Gloria Eunice Klein, age 87, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Funeral services for Gloria Klein will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Little Sioux United Methodist Church. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Elmer Laverne Nelson, age 92, of Irwin, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Elmer Nelson will be held on Monday at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Elkhorn. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Glenn A. Lilja, age 87, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. There are no local services planned for Glenn Lilja. A funeral and burial will take place Monday in Colorado. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold is assisting the family with the local arrangements. Hubert Porter, age 87, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Hubert Porter will be held at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. The date and time are still pending. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Elsie Bailey, age 86, a longtime resident of Anita, died this morning at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Elsie Bailey are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. There is more news online at KJAN.com. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.
At just 21 years old, Roland knew he wanted to own a business. But when he opened a dry goods store in Haverhill, Massachusetts, it failed. Over the next 10 years, Roland opened three more stores and had three more failures. Despite these disappointments, however, he was learning and still trying. Moving to New York, he opened his fifth store. His fifth, and it took. Today, Roland's dry goods store is known as R.H. Macy & Company. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. And the lesson here is failure, of course, we can all ache.